on behalf of Design Centre Chelsea Harbour, a very, very warm welcome to this afternoon's design workshop. This series of workshops has been devised to give you the inside track of things we think are on the style radar at the moment. And we're so thrilled that our hosts this afternoon are the BID. Of course, it's the leading professional association for interior designers. And we've got a treat in store because our guest speaker is Anna Burles. If you haven't heard of Run for the Hills, pin back your ears. They are an interiors and branding company, and they do the most amazing projects, restaurants, bars, even cinemas, residential projects. There's always something very interesting about Anna's projects. So please give Anna a very, very warm welcome.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining today. When I was chatting to the BID about the talk and what we might want to cover, it was a really good kind of time because we've got quite a big mission going on in our design studio at the moment, and it just felt like a really lovely opportunity to talk about design in the amazing design centre in a lovely showroom. So thanks very much for hosting us here. It feels very right for us in here. Love your style. So, but we do have a bit of a mission at the moment, and that is that we have suddenly kind of woken up and thought, we're actually quite eco-conscious at home. We're quite mindful about where we buy our meat from, how we eat, how we're raising our children to think about those kind of things. But actually, what about our day-to-day? What about our work? You know, are we actually putting our mouth, you know, money where our mouth is in terms of our work? So the last year's been about a sort of gestation of that thought and just thinking, gosh, could we be doing more? Massively, yes. And could we also just be talking about it as well and just joining the debate and trying to get other designers and design enthusiasts, people who love design, to feel that they can be part of it too. So that's the subject of today's talk. So I've got a few slides that are about our work, but it's less about our work really today, and it's more about thinking about how we approach design. As we heard in the introduction, we do lots of commercial interior design, but I haven't really focused so much on that. Bars, restaurants, cafes, cinemas, and workspace. But I also still really love doing lots of residential design because it's so layered. You know, in someone's home, you design everything. The kitchens, the bathrooms, and in the bedroom, you're doing everything. Down to the art, the accessories, 5 throws on the bed, not just one. Layering of the bed linens, you know, the lighting, the rugs, the coffee table books, just beautiful things that might inspire your clients. So it's just, it's kind of so rich and layered, and maybe not so much so in the commercial work that you do. You get to do art sourcing for clients, which is amazing on a residential project. You might get to commission some or do some on commercial projects. Not quite, you might not do 50 pieces though, which you might do for a residential client, which is amazing. You just discover lots of new artists, and it's just really, really fun. You'll get to curate the drinks in the drinks cabinet just to make it look fabulous that first month when they move in, you know, and they love you for it, and the glassware and the cutlery, and it's like a wedding list really. So absolutely love doing residential design. That's actually one of my own homes here, which I had a lot of fun with. Paint colours particularly, going quite bold. And sourcing art from artists that I love. That's kind of who we are, really, in terms of design. But today is about tips, really, and just thoughts from me. And it'd be lovely to hear from you guys, too. Just things that we can all think about and take a pause for thought as to how we can just make a bit of a difference. And I don't think it's something that I want to be literal about or rigid about. I don't think we can be. There are certain brands, for example, out there, certain companies, and that everything they do is sustainable, and that's absolutely amazing. But it's not necessarily practical for every brand that we love or even for us to do that. And I don't think it's, particularly today, it's not about saying that that's what we necessarily should be doing, but it is about trying to do something and just considering what we're doing and how we're doing it. So there is a groundswell, as we all know, globally, towards better practices, whether that's protecting the children of India who mine the flagstones that we might put in our patio. That is wrong. We don't necessarily even know about it. But once you do know about it, isn't it just our own responsibility to say, I'm not going to buy those. I'm just not going to buy them. It's wrong. It's absolutely terrible. So it's just thought-provoking things that we can do. But it's interesting that we're also embracing of it in our sort of day-to-day lives and the recycling bins. And it's just, let's think about it on some of the choices we might make in terms of companies that we would want to work with who are just trying to do something or thinking about doing something. Let's just encourage all of us to do something. So that's it, really. It's just thinking about some sort of practical tips. And I think probably a few years ago, someone said to me, how about, you know, what's your niche? Do you feel like you need to have a niche in an interior design firm? I said, well, we kind of don't. We don't really have a look. It's just very creative, but all the projects are different. I said, what about eco design? And at the time, I was not turned off by the idea, but it just didn't excite me at all. I just obviously wasn't ready. I wasn't there yet. And I think part of the problem was that I had a bit of an impression in my head of what eco design was. In fashion, I didn't love eco fashion. But of course now, even the big brands are doing eco ranges, aren't they? Or organic ranges or fair trade ranges. Or they're doing a little one-off special project. But I think that's also changing. And I think sort of thoughtful, mindful design is definitely having a sort of transformation and is very style forward in a way that maybe it wasn't a few years ago. So it just feels like a really good time. But I thought, you know, where do you start on this topic and where do you start thinking about it? And I just thought back to a few old projects that we'd done. And this is a bathroom for a long-time client, actually. And I remember at the time we were sourcing tiles, we found lots of lovely sort of, you know, these sort of arabesque-style tiles, but the most beautiful ones, and we threw it in as a wild card, really, but it was £800 a square metre. I remember thinking, gosh, should I even suggest it? Because I'm not sure £800 a square metre is kind of where I am really as a designer, but I did, and the client loved them, and of course they did look amazing. But then we ripped them out 4 years later, and it's now a beautiful, quite industrial Tadalact bathroom. It's very, very, very different look. Her style's changed. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you think, well, would I do it the same this time? But then, of course, people are allowed to change their style. It's just interesting, and I don't know whether I've got the answer to this particular one, but it's just a thought. But we also thought, well, I guess as with anything, let's say you get a house, a new project, a client, you go to do the site survey, and they give you a bit of a brief of what they might want to do, and then you see some things that are there that are they're nice, you know, the coving, the panelling, some of the joinery of the doors, you know, do you rip it out? Do you rip it all out? Or do you work with your client to think, what's going to make all the difference? What's going to give you the look you want, but at the same time as potentially preserving the things that just, there's nothing wrong with them, they do work, or they could be customised, or they could be refinished or repainted. So it's just thinking about how you do things. And sometimes with a client, let's say they're just ready for a change, you know, they just want a new look. So sometimes when you suggest keeping certain things, they'll kind of look a bit confused because they haven't considered that necessarily. So what we've found as well is that sometimes it can be helpful to visualise how a selection of new things could look with something that's already existing. Very hard to just talk about it, and actually a picture speaks 1,000 words. So sometimes by doing a CGI or a sketch, we've kind of come to a decision on what to keep or what should go, and it's based around a kind of visual, a concept. Thinking local again, I think we've all totally bought into it, haven't we, with produce and farmers markets and buying things in season, because not only are they cheaper, but they might be local, but they also might taste great because they're meant to be eaten at this time of the year. So again, without being rigid, sometimes you just want that thing that is from America, or you want that thing from Japan, and it's wonderful, and you should still, I think, be allowed to have those things that make you happy and that just maybe add a finishing touch. But it's just also consider other elements in the wider mix that might not be from far afield, that might be sourced locally or could be from an artisan maker or a British firm. Let's, you know, celebrate who we are as an island and the amazing designer makers that are here. So it's just, again, considering it. In this little image here, it depends what your project is as well. Sometimes, you know, budget's no option, no consideration. I've just done a beautiful project in the south of France for a developer, and it's his own home, and he's super stylish, and his girlfriend's really, they're just an amazingly stylish couple. It was very old, everything in the apartment, as in slightly 80s nasty, not rather than nice old, if you get what I mean. So you didn't really feel too bad about ripping things out because they were very tired. They couldn't be reused or remodeled. And of course, we put a beautiful kitchen in and we've put beautiful appliances in and amazing sanitary ware from some of the just gorgeous brands. But other times you might have a client where they're trying to do the whole house and they only have a certain amount of budgets. You just can't go nuts in every room. So you have to decide what are the bits that we're going to spend some really nice money on and do beautifully. But there are going to be other bits where you have to just be a bit more creative with the budget because you can't do everything. So in this kind of an instance, it was a kitchen that was already there, but it was in a good location. The plumbing was in the right location. There was no suggestion of changing that. So really it was, well, why throw away the carcasses? They're perfectly okay. Let's just make the doors and the handles and the, let's change the worktop, let's change the sink. So just... That was right for that project, whereas it might not have been for another project. This is a little, it's a bridge actually, of my client's bridge, which is her garden, and the bridge goes between two buildings. But it's quite overlooked. Nowhere kind of private to have a cheeky little cigarette or a drink at the end of the night. So we just created some lovely arches and had some for privacy, which had little sparkling lights in them at night. But she is vegan, has been for many, many years, way ahead of the trend, very passionate about it. So again, just one of the key criteria was that we make sure that the timbers that we use were sourced, you know, responsibly, and that the fabrics we use are resourced responsibly. So, and obviously, in since finding out about the whole paving stones nightmare, I've just been quite militant with clients and saying, we're not going to use it. And if you want to, you'll have to work with someone else on that. We're just not doing it. And actually, you know, it's they might only be a little bit more expensive, but it's just, if you don't know, you don't know, do you? But as soon as you do, there's just a falling of the scales from your eyes and you know what you need to do and be responsible. I love vintage. I love new products and I like mixing both. I love fashion forward, next generation design, designer makers, but I like putting them in a juxtaposition with some vintage pieces as well. And of course, anything vintage, it's really a wonderful opportunity to revitalize something that was made beautifully at the time, reupholster it, give it a new life. That's an easy one. Recovering, sometimes clients will have, again, in order to facilitate an amazing new kitchen, which costs, you know, has a certain amount of budget attached to it, or an amazing new bathrooms. Sometimes we just have to work a little bit with what's there in the home. So let's say you've got a lovely table and it's the right size for entertaining, but you just don't like the finish of it anymore. We might change the legs. We might cover it with a tablecloth. We might, you know, you can get creative if you need to. Woodwork, restaining, repainting, refinishing. Again, unless a client loves this look to distraction, you'd never have a house full of it. We don't ever do that. They're key pieces, but they're alongside beautiful, modern, off-the-shelf or bespoke pieces that we'll have made. And it's that nice juxtaposition which gives a little bit of soul to the home. Again, this was a kind of warehouse-style loft house. And it had been done by an architect about 15 years before, and it was a bit tired. But again, you know, we could have replaced all the doors, but we didn't. We just sent them off. We got them dipped and stripped, and they came back, and they had been previously quite sort of pristine timber, and they looked a bit kind of, but just tired looking, but kind of very straight. And actually, they came back, and suddenly they looked vintaged, and they just had a whole new life to them. It would have been cheaper than replacing all of the doors, but... This was a headboard. We had a vision for the headboard. Looked around, could only find somewhere quite far away, beautiful headboard in a similar style. But the shipping costs would have been absolutely extortionate because you can imagine this four guys had to hold this up to get it supported underneath. It was so heavy, like six and a half foot of solid elm. Really, really, really solid. So We found a forester in Scotland who found a piece of wood, restained it a bit darker, added those kind of retro light switches to it, and suddenly you've got a really beautiful piece, and it still cost a few hundred pounds for shipping, but not £2,000-£3,000 for shipping. And this is a sofa maker. They're called Maker and Son, and I was again sourcing recently, earlier in the summer, for this same client, a new property, and she's a vegan, and she cares about lots of things. And I hadn't really even known quite what I was looking for, but I knew it had to be amazingly comfortable. Comfort is top of the list, and even what might be considered quite comfortable or very comfortable sofas were being given the thumbs down. They're not comfortable enough. So I was like, oh, I'm on a mission. And actually, I stumbled across these guys. They are in the press now, so you will probably have heard of them. But they make everything here, and they just have this amazing philosophy. Everything down to the feathers are cruelty-free. Everything's, you know, as sustainably sourced as it can be. Not everything is, but they're trying to inject more and more as they go along. And it is unbelievably amazing. But again, I'd never thought about feathers. You just would hope that they're kindly done. Apparently they're not. So again, I didn't know, now I do. I would just ask that question of the supplier and try and be as kind as I can be. But amazing to know that, you know, this is a luxury. You know, we actually did a U-shaped sofa custom version of this for my client in their TV snug, and it was £15,000. It's not a cheap U-shaped snug, but so lovely to know that, A, it was going to be amazing when it arrived, and B, it's just been crafted beautifully and with careful and considered design. These are a couple of... Some brands... this is a collaboration between a kitchen company and the flooring. You know Dinnison flooring? Those amazingly wide floorboards. Really, really wide floorboards. Anyway, the offcuts from their floorboards have been turned into a kitchen. Just a lovely collaboration between brands thinking of something interesting to do. What do you do with the stuff that the clients don't want? That's another thing that we've decided, that even if it means us taking a bit of responsibility for doing it and making it happen, which is a cost to me, it's time, isn't it? And I can't necessarily, if my clients are up for paying for it, great, but I've decided even if I have to spend a couple of days of my junior's time, I just can't send it to landfill, and I can't let the builder just take it away and trash it. So we will call in some of the charities that will come and pick things up for free. They'll take them to refuges, shelters. They won't take everything, but they'll take an awful lot. So there's loads of those services, Age UK, shelter. And we would just have someone positioned at the house or the property, and they just all come in a couple of days, and we pack everything up, and you just feel like it hasn't gone to waste. So again, that's just we're not doing that. We're not letting that happen. I'm sure everyone's had a bit of a go at this. I have to say, I'm terrible at it. It doesn't look anything like this when I do it, but there are people who do it really well, and it can give new life to something. There are some beautiful paints. We're collaborating with Earthborn, actually, on a room set that we're doing at Decorex coming up soon. And of course, their whole philosophy is about being, you know, amazingly eco and so. But actually, an awful lot of the lovely paint brands that we all love and use on a day-to-day basis, they're all doing more and more and more to be as eco-conscious as they can. A lot of them have moved to being water-based rather than semi-oil-based. They're using different kinds of oils to sort of create the mix. So an awful lot of the brands that we know and love are doing really good things in the space. This is, I guess, in everyone's daily life, it's quite a therapeutic thing to do, isn't it, to declutter. And again, where you might have decluttered and thrown some things away, we just don't ever throw things away anymore, we just give them away. Charity shop, we'll do the run. And again, just really, really not wanting to be rigid. There's just going to be times when you want to source that thing and it's from Japan, go for it, it's amazing. But just it's a consideration. What proportion of products in a project are you happy to be from far-flung places? And it's just going to be a movable feast, and you've got to be flexible. It's just thinking about it. I worked actually on a, it was a pop-up with my old design school, KLC, and they were invited to create a bedroom set as part of the Coronation Festival in the grounds of Buckingham Palace. So they asked me to design it with them. And our brief was really rigid from, I guess, the palace. And it said that you have to work with royal warrant holders only, and they have to be based in the UK and preferably as sustainable as you can. This is going back kind of 7 years now, actually, so it was quite tough, actually, 7 years ago, to find people who would contra their services for free and who had an element of... But it was interesting, and actually at the time, I remember we got to know some wonderful kind of UK-based companies and brands. And I just think it's a really great thing to celebrate where we are and that we're a capital of design here, and actually we should celebrate local artisans. This is a new pop-up room set that we're going to be doing at Decorex, and we are creating a bedroom for a five-year-old eco-warriorette. We were given the guest room, and it could be anything we wanted it to be. And actually we thought, the master bedroom's going to be like a hero. So we're not just going to do a guest room, which could just be play second fiddle to the master. Let's just do something fun and a bit out there. So we decided to do a kid's bedroom and just thought, well, this is what we're passionate about at the moment, so let's just prove it. Let's just do a room. And trust me, not all of the products in the room are eco by any stretch of imagination, but I'd say 40 to 50% of them definitely are, and then maybe 20 to 30% of them are trying something in that field, and then there's some that are out and out there, not at all, but they're just amazing, and they're going to kind of bring the whole kind of thing together. But we wanted to kind of show that eco design or thoughtful design, let's just call it thoughtful design, really can be as exciting as any of the most exciting design that you might consider, that there shouldn't be any perception that in some way it's worthy or that it has a certain look. Or so it's just trying to banish those preconceptions. So these are just some of the mood boards that set our kind of concept and why we wanted to do it. Obviously there's a big strong message there that, you know, I've got young children myself, and I know that they're going to turn around to me when they're 10 or 12 and say, "Mummy, why didn't you do more?" So this is kind of where it starts. We just want to make sure that we're trying. This is an early, what we call a clay model, which is when you haven't put any of the colours or textures in yet, you're creating the 3D space and you're trying to get it to work. You to and fro a million times until you're happy with the white clay version of it. And then you start adding the textures. So obviously this contains quite a few of the actual products that we are using in the set. Then that's the final CGI, which that's probably iteration 20, including 2 weekends, one of which I was on holiday, but feeding back to the CGI chap over the weekend. It takes ages to get them right. But hopefully it gives a little bit of a spirit of, yeah, we wanted it to be have quite a powerful message. So the T-shirt has actually been designed by my husband's graphics team in our company. So they've designed a couple of T-shirts. One of them says "Time to Rebel," another one says "My Planet Earth" or my Mother Earth. We've got some art prints on the walls, which again have some eco kind of messaging, and some books on the floor next to the rocking chair. "The Tantrum That Saved the World" is a kind of quite a classic eco book. So we've curated a few messages in, but we hope in not a preachy way, more of a it's integrated. And then my husband's team have done a sort of shadow puppet animation, like her dream. So she actually appears in the dream as a little Viking boy, and then he ends up making friends with her, and she's got this kind of like dinosaur outfit on, and that's going to be on a loop. Then there's a glitter wall at the back, and there's a balloon installation. I mean, it's just quite a fun space, but we just wanted to see if we could play with it and just show that it can be super glammy. Some tree trunks that we put into another client's boho-y type bedroom, which only cost £500 and arrived on a pallet from somewhere in Essex, I think. But it looked amazing. And then just generally, I think, there is a groundswell, isn't there? And there are just more and more brands and companies popping up, trying to help you curate and find hotels, bars, brands that are just doing interesting things or talking in interesting ways. And that's it. I think in the baby blur of my children, Margot's now 5, just started primary school, Frank's 3.4. So there were a few years of like just keeping my head above water, trying to run the company, be a mum, just craziness. And I think I probably stepped a bit away from some of the missions that I'd felt before, but I feel like I'm back. And I just think we've got a responsibility in design to really just try, see what we can do. Doesn't have to be every day, doesn't have to be every project, it doesn't have to be every part of the project, but just we just need to think and collaborate and try to experiment with other designs and designers and brands, just do interesting things to change perceptions. That's kind of where we are.
So I'm the lady with the microphone. Anna, are we able to have just a few questions? Any questions from the audience?
So I worked like landscapes a lot. Do you find that the things that you, like the interiors that you do inside, that they have a flow out into the outside and it's an integral part of the garden? Or
Definitely. We were not landscapers at all. However, I always ask my clients, can I be involved in at least the concept for the garden or the landscape or the terrace? So it's easier in the commercial projects that we do. We designed Cricket's new restaurant in the television centre, new courtyard, and there was not enough money left over for a nice terrace. We put a few plants out there and a few tables and chairs, but then they came back to do the terrace again. And we came up with the concept, but then we worked with a landscaping company to kind of bring it to life. I think that it's just, and actually you can just become, if you buddy up with a landscaper, you can just get really excited about it. And try and, because you've already got a relationship with the client from the interior side, sometimes you can persuade the client to do the, you know, push the boat out a bit on the external. It's not just the add-on. Yeah, it's just as important, and it extends the space as well, massively.
I'm a graphic designer, so I just wanted to understand the relationship when you're working on something more commercial.
Yes.
How do you guys work together with interiors and graphic designers?
We literally in parallel. So if we're working on a project where we're doing both, but we're not always. Sometimes I'm hired to do the interior design for a bar or a restaurant, and my husband's branding team isn't. There's another branding agency, and I collaborate with the other branding agency. What tends to happen there is that they come up with their brand first, and then they kind of tell us what it is. We may or may not like it, but we work with it, and we kind of try and marry our interior design as best we can with that brand. And you hopefully end up with a really good result. We never love it as much as when we're doing both at the same time. And if we're doing both at the same time, although you might think that the brand comes first, we don't do it like that. We concept it together at the same time. So we would do not a concept presentation initially, but we'd do what we call a creative direction presentation, which would be exploring the competitive set. Who's doing what? What are we going to avoid? What do we definitely not want to go near? Or what, just things to avoid. You don't want to copy, do you ever? You just want to be unique. But we would do that together, and it would integrate looks for interiors as much as for branding, signage, wayfinding, websites, cookbooks, everything. And then we literally start doing the concept together. So lots of joint presentations where it's entirely joined up. And obviously my husband can then come over to me and say, oh my God, Rita's come up with this amazing route for the logo, but it's pink. Okay, so can you just not do any that colour that you were going to do? And you'll go grrr for a few minutes. And then you'll look at Rita's route and it's amazing. So you just think, they're right. So we'll go monochrome, because actually the colour can be in the brand or whatever. Because the two inform each other, don't they? And I think when you're a customer, even if you're not a designer, you're design savvy, you like design. Everyone's design savvy, aren't they? Everyone in life these days. You know when they don't quite gel. The interior is one thing. Maybe premium or casual, and then the brand slightly feels not the same. So I think people they may not necessarily know how to articulate it, but they know it doesn't quite gel. So yeah, we love doing both, but we are probably quite unusual in the way we do the process.
Hi, I'm a fellow designer, also mother of 2, 5 and 4.
It's hard, isn't it?
And same thing, past year, really wanting to take my personal life into the way my business runs. It's been interesting looking at chatting to the suppliers, everyone across the landscape around, some people really not engaged yet at all in their product development, and some that really are, you know, leading the way. What do you see as the biggest challenge for the industry as a whole to kind of join this movement, but one that's not going to be a passing trend? It's going to be, have to be a fundamental way for us to move forward. What do you see as the biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge, but also opportunity. Biggest challenge in some ways is not quite knowing where to start. So I'll have chats with suppliers too, and they'll say, yeah, we're not really doing anything in that. And say, well, you know, maybe on the next one we could collaborate on a product, or we could just do a one-off. You know, it's a sort of marketing tool in some ways, but it just kind of experiment. You're like, you're prototyping. It's like creating a prototype, isn't it? You don't know if it's going to be commercially viable to roll it out. What price point would it be at? So I'd say one of the challenges is not really knowing where to start and how to start. There's always a time to start. Just because it's difficult, there will be a place. Price can be a problem, can't it? Because the R&D that goes into it, changing business practices can be a massive challenge. But again, does it have to be the core range? Maybe not. Maybe it's a diffusion range and it's smaller and it's more expensive and there'll be people who want to buy into that. That could start it that way. And then over time, when materials, eco-materials become cheaper, there's just not a reason not to. But it doesn't have to be that you suddenly change all of your product range. It's just starting somewhere, isn't it? But I think the opportunity, if you think about it, in an internet age where all of our clients can also source everything from everywhere, and where certain suppliers will give them just as good a discount, let's say, as we might get. We're very transparent about our discounts. We tell our clients exactly how much we get off. We pass it through to them. That's just how we work. But if everybody's getting this, you know, it just, so you've got to think about what's your point of difference for the industry going forward. Why is anyone hiring an interior designer? Of course there's space planning, of course there's the compliance, of course there's the modelling of the CGIs, but on a basic sourcing level. So I think it's about seeing that, you know, there's a good reason, responsibility-wise, to do it, but I think there's a good business reason for doing it as well. And if you then, it unlocks some good creative partnerships between brands and makers. Amazing. I'd love to do the Anna sofa. We'd love to do the Run for the Hills kitchen. We'd, why not? I mean, why not experiment and kind of work together to make things more likely rather than less?
Hello. I'm a big fan of your studio, by the way, so I'm looking forward to your talk tomorrow as well. So my question, back to the commercial again, in your efforts to be more kind of conscious about design, are you finding you're trying to come up with more of a criteria for your ideal clients? So trying to work with companies that are more, like their values are more aligned with yours, where they're more about sustainability and that kind of thing?
Not sure that's possible, to be honest. You think realistically about a business, that would be a great privilege, wouldn't it, to be able to cherry pick your clients purely on a set of criteria. I think we try to work with clients who share an overall sensibility with us, but that has to include a design aesthetic too, because otherwise it's never going to be a good relationship if you're jarring constantly about the design. So I think if you're taking someone on a journey and you're giving them the best fun bit of their job, because they've got tough jobs a lot. You know, imagine you're running a restaurant. It's hard work, making money out of restaurants. Actually, the design of a new one, the really fun bit. You take them on a journey, and it's just during that process, if you can then weave in, how about we try, you know, isn't that going to be the most persuasive way? They might not have even thought of it before. They'll assume it's going to be more expensive. That will worry them. So it's trying to sort of dispel some of those ideas. Sometimes you don't even know the answer. You can just look into it. So, yeah, not sure you can cherry pick that much from your pool, but try to educate a bit.
I think we could be here actually all afternoon. So thoughtful, Anna. Goodness me, my brain is whirling. Such thoughtful, considered, such kindness I'm feeling in the room this afternoon. Not only to the planet, but also to your clients and also to your suppliers. I want to point out something at the back here from Espresso Design, that wonderful surface with the flowers on it and also the cabinet at the back. It's called Factory, and it's from reclaimed wood from India. So even where we are, go and have a look at it. It feels beautiful. It's just got the most amazing. It's got the most amazing surface. So these reclaimed things have a sort of life to them as well. They've got a story to tell. They've got a narrative to tell. Anna, thank you so much for such a wonderful afternoon. What a brilliant way to end our programme. I want to thank Espresso 2 for welcoming us so beautifully, and BID for being our professional interior design, professional body for all our interior designers. And lastly, I'd like to thank you for coming along to Focus. We have had our biggest show we've ever had. We've had about 130 events in 6 days, from demonstrations to workshops to conversations in design to product launches and thoughtful, interesting discussions like this afternoon. Give yourself a round of applause. Thank you so much.